Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Let's Watch Podcast. I'm your host, James, with my co-host, Carolyn.
Hello.
And today we are covering Passing.
Indeed.
And what's the synopsis for this one?
Passing follows the unexpected reunion of two high school friends whose renewed acquaintance ignites a mutual obsession that threatens both of their carefully constructed realities. That's a good description, actually.
Mm-hmm. And this movie stars Tessa Thompson, Ruth Negga, with Andre Holland, and then bit parts essentially by like Bill Camp and Alexander Skarsgård.
And it's directed by Rebecca Hall.
Rebecca Hall, directorial debut. She also wrote it. Mm-hmm. Writer director. And for a debut, it's beautifully shot and staged.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not surprising that when an actor directs that they get good performances out of the actors. Like, they know how to work with actors, obviously. But it is, everything else is a little, you know, is this going to work or is this not? So I liked this movie until a point. I really liked this movie until a point. I love Tessa Thompson, as everyone does in the world, because she's wonderful.
Oh, she's really good, yeah.
And she's incredible in this movie. Same with Ruth Negga. They're both very, very good.
They are so good. Like, it doesn't feel... I found both of their performances really drew you in the silences mm-hmm. and in the not silences, and I believe them wholeheartedly. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about Ruth Negga, but I do know a lot about Tessa Thompson, but I didn't see this as Tessa Thompson, you know?
No, it says Rini and Claire.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like the glances they have like across rooms.
Well, see, the thing is, I was kind of doing other things while I started this movie, and I did other things for like maybe like a couple minutes, kind of like puttering around. And then I realized that I was just standing in front of the TV, like not sitting, not comfortable, just standing in front of the TV for like 10 minutes. And then I was like, okay, I need to actually just like watch this when I have a moment to actually sit down and really watch this. Cause it was like, and nothing had even happened. This was still while Tessa Thompson was like walking around, and she was like in the restaurant by this point, and it was just like in the restaurant. I was like, but what's going on? Is she passing? Is the other one passing? Who's passing? What's going on here? And yeah. It just really, it drew me in.
I mean, she's great in the beginning because she's like constantly making aware of everybody around her and making that she's trying to like not be, she's like, have I been clocked? Has somebody mm-hmm. figured it out? And then it's, you see the difference when they go up to Claire's hotel room and how mm-hmm. much more relaxed she acts and everything, and she's not concerned about the strangers around her. She's
yeah. And the thing is, it's not really like she's trying to pass, because that becomes clear, well, maybe not consciously, I guess, because that becomes clear later when she's like, oh, that's like the one man I've ever like pretended to be a white woman in front of, or something like that. But like, she's
that's
definitely
the person
just
who's met me,
yeah, she's definitely just trying to like not stand out and not ruffle feathers, you know, not draw attention to herself. Yes. I don't think she's like out living her life, like being pretending to be white to the degree that Claire is.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point of the movie.
It's interesting because the poster is like black and white, and literally the tagline is nothing is black and white, and the movie's in black and white. And I was like, I get it. Good Lord. But the thing is, once watching the movie, it was way more intricate and subtle than that. So I feel like the marketing of this, well, maybe it makes people watch the film, but the marketing of this feels a bit heavy-handed compared to the film, which is a lot more delicate.
I mean, yeah, the poster is Tessa Thompson on a black background and Ruth Negga on a white background.
Wearing black and wearing white and yeah, being and blonde, like, and having dark hair.
It's like, we get it. I do wonder. I do think I understand, like, I like the choice that it's in black and white. I think it helps the movie, but I also think it allows us to, helps with us not seeing Tessa Thompson and Ruth Negga, right?
Yes.
Because it makes it just makes it a little different. And mm-hmm. since you and I are so aware of Tessa Thompson as a person,
mm-hmm.
that there would be some disconnect from us watching it being like, okay, but it's Tessa Thompson, like she's a movie star, right? Like,
it also made it feel distinctly less modern, which helped you believe the scene and the world. And like, I really fell into this world in like it felt like the 20s. It didn't feel like really modern and shiny.
Rot. Rot.
Yes.
It did feel very modern. Sorry for interrupting you. when you just said the 20s, I was like, they say that's how you know it's the 20s. They yell rot all the time.
That is true.
And I was like, that's because they kind of talk like it. I also fell into the world, but they like Ruth Negga definitely, Claire definitely has like a different accent mm-hmm. and it's more affluent, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that she's pretending to be somebody of, to like help her with her passing. She's like, I have to act like extremely like somebody of high class.
Yeah.
So people won't judge me. Whereas, I mean, Tessa Thompson and Andre Holland's characters aren't low class either. They're also very wealthy people.
But you know what? More... I really liked that about this because it allowed their lives to be like quite similar in terms of like wealth and like the way that they live. And it allowed like the one difference between them to be their skin color, because mm-hmm. it would be not a fair comparison. And also like, yeah, I feel like it would be like really easy for the film to have been like, oh, look at this beautiful and charmed life that Claire has. And like Irene doesn't have that life. Like she's poor or uneducated or not successful or blah, blah, blah. And then it's really easy to have Irene be like, oh, I really want what Claire wants. You know what I mean? Like, but mm-hmm. putting them on kind of like a more level playing field is something that I think is not often done, but it actually really shows the temptation of passing, not because of this giant disparity in their lives. There is obviously a very huge cultural and like sociological disparity, but in terms of like comfort levels, like, yeah, Tessa Thompson's character has a giant house. She has a maid. Like, her husband's a doctor. They live in a neighborhood that, like, you know, is nice, you know?
Yeah, they live in, they mentioned that they live in Harlem, and they have, like, a three-story house with, like, mm-hmm. 20 rooms or something. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, my God. And he is a doctor, and they have wonderful clothes.
And they have a car.
And they have a car, and they never seem to want for anything. Like,
yeah.
She's like, yeah, I spent all day going around downtown to find a book because our son wants it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so like you're not hurting for money. And Claire certainly isn't either. It's just like the jealousy that comes from both of them is that they're jealous of each other's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for you because this I didn't know if this was actually in the movie because I am a dumb man. And
the sexual tension?
Was there sexual tension or
100%? Yes.
Okay. Cause like sometimes women are just do that sometimes, right? Like they are allowed to be more affectionate with their friends.
Yeah. Yes. It is that thing that happens in movies and also sometimes real life where
you see someone's back and you're like, wow.
No, where it's a fine line between do I want to be their best friend? Do I want to be them or do I want to do them? And I think,
yes, I am familiar with this for sure,
but that's like, I don't know. I think not necessarily something that is common in people's like lives, but like when looking at celebrities,
parasocial relationships.
Yes, exactly. Where you like kind of, especially in this movie, since it's about like obsession and idolizing them and the dreaming about what could be like. So it is this fine line between like wishing you could be them and live their life and also be with them in that life. Yes. And I think that movie did that very well. It's also interesting though, because I like that the movie doesn't really spell anything out for you.
No.
In that it's not like these two want a bone. And also with the husband, you don't really know what's in Irene's head or not. Like, is the husband actually into Claire? Are they just buddies? Like, you don't know.
I think I know what I think of it, but they show you that right at the beginning of the movie when she walks down and she sees them in the mirror and it presents them closer than they actually are.
Who?
And she walks the first time when Claire is at the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, I'm still getting ready. And then Brian goes down and then mm-hmm. Tessa Thompson walks down the stairs and she mm-hmm. sees her husband and Claire talking very closely, but it's in a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So when she rounds the corner and shows them in real life, they're actually further apart than what the mirror presented them.
Yeah, so it's like all like her perception.
It's her perception, mm-hmm. which I liked that. And then later in the movie, they continually present them as close together. And sometimes they are close together. And other times you're like, well, were they? Or is that just, did we see the angle again? But the first time we see it, Rebecca Hall makes us aware that it's a mirror first.
Yeah. Well, and what's interesting too is you don't know where these feelings are coming from in Irene. Like, is she jealous that her husband might be into someone? Is she jealous that Claire might be into someone? Like, does she wish that she was in her husband's shoes? Like, and you kind of get the impression that when she's yelling at her husband, like, you seem happier when Claire's around, you know, she's talking about herself. She's happier when Claire's around.
Yes.
But there is this love turns into jealousy and obsession kind of thing where it's like she adores and hates Claire for everything that she is, basically. I think there was a line in the movie about it, about how it's like you're attracted to something that you're kind of also disgusted by.
Yes. Now you said that, like, my read on it was that Irene definitely was attracted to Claire.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I think, wanted her, like, freedom, right? Mm-hmm. She liked how she could just, like, enter their space and just be, like free and happy, essentially, mm-hmm. and, like, there. I don't really think she was jealous of her ability to, like, be a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
But then...
Well, because they don't really show her being a white woman. Like, you're never really in her white woman world.
No, and she's pretty, like, explicit in that, being like, I don't want that. I can go there if I want to, but I don't want that. I chose mm-hmm. to be here.
Mm-hmm.
But then I don't know if, like, the attraction is returned from Claire to Irene. I didn't know if there was, like, was this something that was there in the past, or is this, like, a one-way sexual attraction? Because Claire is definitely jealous of Irene's life. Like, once,
yeah.
like, I could see she totally wants to be, like, if she met Brian when she was, like, young, she would 1,000% have married Brian, right? Because mm-hmm. I think what Claire wants is the wealth.
Life. Yeah.
Right? Is that she felt like she had to marry or become, pretend to be a white woman and marry a mm-hmm. white man, because that was how she would get what she wanted, which she says in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also, she later discovers, or she meets a man like Brian and she's like, wait a minute, I could have the best mm-hmm. of both worlds?
I don't know. I feel like there is a little bit from her side too. But again, it's one of those, like, where is the desire for someone's life and to be someone? Where is the line between that and the desire for them? You know?
Yeah. And I think why I didn't, or I stopped liking this movie, is, like, in the last 20 minutes, Claire and Irene, like, stop having conversations with each other. And it is all very...
Well, it also becomes, like, the mental decline of Irene a little bit.
It does.
Like, you worry that she's getting a little bit psycho, you know?
Yeah, where it's like, how much of this is internalized? Mm-hmm. And she is, like, refusing to communicate
mm-hmm.
With her husband. And he is trying,
mm-hmm.
to his credit. And she's just, like, continually shuts him down.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the nicest man, but he is.
But he's also not the worst. Like, you know, in his brain, he hasn't done anything wrong. And she's being all, like, jealous and weird about Claire. And he's kind of like, okay, well, I'm not going to get mad at you. Like, you know?
Yeah, he's like, she's our friend.
Yeah.
We like her.
That's the thing. I loved the subtlety of, like, how the relationships changed and evolved over time. And, like, this movie, I don't know if it was half an hour or 4 hours long. It felt like we did see a huge passage of time. Because mm-hmm. the way that their relationships changed and how they felt about each other, there was never, like, a turning point for anyone, which I appreciated because that's not real life. It was all really gradual, and I thought they did that so well.
Yeah, like, you can tell watching this movie that it obviously encompasses a large amount of time because mm-hmm. the seasons change. Mm-hmm. And it does feel like every scene is like, oh, is this, like, 2 weeks later or is this 3 months later?
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know. And then they have these wonderful party scenes where everybody's there, and they still, like, there's never really a wasted moment in this film. Everything is furthers the story and makes it there. I don't know, once the mental decline or she becomes more paranoid, I don't know what it is. I was just like, okay, you need to, like, talk to your husband. If you think he's
and
cheating
your friend,
on you,
like, yeah,
then you need to, like, address that. And it's, like, seeping through into, like, how you're raising your kids, which, in my opinion, like, in that scene, I was like, I agreed with him in that
mm-hmm.
because I don't know how old the boys are, but they're not young anymore.
Well, what I liked, though, is that I liked that they kind of explored. I liked that the whole movie wasn't about Claire and Irene because how many times do we see a movie that's about race and stuff that is actually just, like, a love story or about a friendship? And it's like, okay, well, you tried. But, like, I really appreciated that there was two sides to the conversation of like how you raise your kids in like a world that is not so kind to Black folks. You know, like I really appreciated those conversations. I think it did miss the opportunity to explore the privileges that Claire's kids saw by not being seen as Black kids.
Well, we never saw Claire's child.
Well, exactly. We didn't see much of Claire's life at all.
No, she's always a visitor.
Mm-hmm.
Where, I mean, this is her community, but mm-hmm. she also gets to visit and have fun. And then she really is getting what I think they want us, or what Irene thinks, is like she gets the boast of both worlds. But since we met her, Claire's husband, at the beginning of the film, we know that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a racist monster and a bigot.
Mm-hmm. With a smile on his face.
With a smile on his face. And he's just like, you know, I've never met one myself, but all the crime. And it's like, oh boy.
Yeah.
This man. So, yeah, I liked it until then. And then I felt like the actual ending, it just kind of ends.
It does, yeah. It ramps up and then it just kind of stops. Who, huge spoiler, who killed Claire? Do you think it was an accident? Do you think it was subconsciously not an accident?
Well, the movie definitely, well, they show us Irene's hand on her, right?
Yes, but was that protective? Or was it, did she shove her out the window? Like, I like that they left it kind of, I think she also doesn't know herself. I like that they left it kind of open-ended.
Yeah, she doesn't know. But what I think was there is because that's right after Irene runs into Claire's husband and realizes that the gig's up, right? Like, mm-hmm. she's exposed Claire. And then she doesn't tell her, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I feel like this would be information you tell your friend, right?
Yeah, like, so that her husband doesn't, like, beat the shit out of her when she gets home?
Yeah, I was just like, or, you know, or maybe your own husband being like, mm-hmm. hey, I ran into her husband, right? Like, mm-hmm. maybe we should do something to help her. And then mm-hmm. as it went on, I was just like, okay, well, she's obviously not in the mental headspace to handle this. She's like still in shock of what's happened and probably like mm-hmm. terrified of what is going to happen to Claire, rightfully so. But then the way Claire acts at that party made me feel like she already knew.
I don't know. Or like, I don't think she knew necessarily, but like she maybe was already considering maybe leaving her husband or like trying to figure out a way to be involved in that life. Because I think what terrifies Irene is that Irene was like, well, what would you do if you found out? And Claire was like, well, I'd just come and hang out and be a part of your life forever. And I think Irene maybe didn't like that, you know? Like, you don't get to just go away and have the privilege of being a white woman and then come back when it's convenient for you. And also, and then she's worried that she's going to, like, take over her literal life with her husband and whatnot.
Yeah,
so, like,
she's afraid that Brian's going to leave her for Claire.
Yeah, and so I don't know if it was, like, I think, you know what I like is I think it was a mix of everything. I think it was protective, like, there's an angry man coming at your friend. So you kind of try to move her out of the way. I think it was that. I think it was protective in a different sense that it's like, no, I don't want you to give up the life that you have to come live the same life that we have. I think it was protective in that sense, like kill her rather than let her change her whole life. But I also think it was protective of herself in that she's like, I don't want you to live this life, you know? But it's interesting.
I thought Claire jumped is where I ended up. Because when he's knocking at the door and yelling, mm-hmm. we can hear that it's the husband, right?
Yeah.
And Claire would definitely recognize her husband's voice. And then she makes the choice to walk over to the open window, right? And she knows that everything's like her life is essentially being blown up right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when she's like, when they make that choice, I feel like she knew that her choice was death then,
mm-hmm.
right? Is that she would rather die than deal with all the pain that would come after that. And
but it sucks because when she does die, her husband is sitting there looking so upset. Like, because you would be like, he sucks and we don't feel bad for him. But also, this was the woman he loved. Mm-hmm. And she lied to him his whole life. And then died. Like,
I do ultimately think, like, even though I think Claire made the choice of being like, well, I'm standing over an open window, like, if he does decide to get violent, at least that's what I thought her choice was there. But I do think it's ambiguous. And I was pretty sure Irene didn't push her, might have accidentally pushed her, but the husband was charging at them, right?
Yeah.
So, like, even if she put her arm and pushed her, like, he came in. I don't know if he hit them. That they don't show that. But he definitely gets close enough where, like, they're going to go backwards.
Yeah.
So I do definitely think he's at fault. And, of course, you know, nothing bad happens to him, which I did appreciate how they showed the police just being like, I don't know.
Well, no, right? The police were asking. But then Irene was like, no, he didn't push. I mean, fair, because she maybe did. But
she was also in shock.
Mm-hmm. But what I liked is that the husband wasn't trying to advocate that he didn't do anything wrong. And all the people at the party were also sitting there being like, we genuinely don't know what happened. Like, someone maybe thought he pushed, but then they're like, but Irene was the one standing there. Like, ask her what happened. I don't know what happened. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I ended up for the ending. Obviously, like, everyone will have their own interpretations of it. I do think that's, I did like the choice to leave it ambiguous because it is interesting. I think it would have been worse with a definitive answer. It would have changed definitely. Like the entire ending. I was like, if Irene killed her, then you're like, oh, or if the husband killed her.
Well, and also the whole movie was kind of ambiguous. So I appreciated that the ending also was.
Yeah. And this is definitely Tessa Thompson's movie. Like, Claire is definitely a supporting role in this, and it's supposed to be like mysterious and kind of like we don't know that much about her.
Yeah, but you feel like you get a chance to kind of get into her psyche a little bit.
Yeah, cool. But the person's head we're in is Irene's.
100%, especially towards the end. That's when you really realize that it is entirely her story in her head because you don't know what's happening at the end. Like, Irene has a distorted reality, therefore us as the viewers have a distorted reality.
Yes. I'm thinking about this movie is that I do think it's everything is well done. I just really didn't vibe with the last 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
From a personal choice, I don't think it's like poorly made. I still think it's well made. I just don't think it just doesn't work for me there. Because the whole time I was just like, just have a conversation. And I understand that you're like mentally struggling. I just didn't feel like that very, I didn't like that, I guess, is the whole thing. It was just kind of, I was finding myself getting increasingly frustrated at Irene as the movie went on. And it was just like, I understand why you're feeling like this, but you're also being pretty selfish right now. But I still think the movie's great. Everybody should watch it. I hope that Tessa Thompson and Ruth Negga are nominated. If they're not, what are we doing?
Yeah, they're so talented. I feel like, you know what? It's a woman movie.
No nominations?
No, so it means that the only nominations they have will be acting nominations, and they'll overlook everything else about this movie that was actually really good.
Now, yeah, we haven't seen enough, but do you want Rebecca Hall nominated for Best Director or Screenplay?
I do.
Okay. I don't know just because I haven't seen enough. She's definitely on like the short list, and she should be for sure.
Yeah.
This movie, there's going to be 10 Best Picture nominees. If this isn't one of the Best Picture nominees,
well,
what the fuck?
That's the thing for me is like normally, like there's movies that are acting movies that you watch and you're like, yeah, I can see why your only nomination was acting. Like, you acted the hell out of it and that's all there was. But this is not one of those. I think if it was, well, this movie would never be directed by a man, but I think if this movie were directed by a man, then it would get other awards too. Or if it was about men or something. If there were more men involved in this movie, I think that it would be a different story.
Yeah.
Like in terms of nominations and stuff, also in terms of what the film is. But because it's a woman movie, I think it'll only get acting nominations.
I could see Screenplay because there's two of them. And I know this is semi-autobiographical for Rebecca Hall. Her being herself. Until this movie, I did not know that she was also mixed raced.
I Googled it because I was uncomfortable with the fact that she directed this movie. But once you read on it, I'm like, okay, she's actually a pretty good person to tell this story, perhaps.
I mean, this is
because like
kind of her story.
Yeah. So from what I Googled, her mom is like, her dad is like pretty white, but her mom is African-American, Native American, Scottish, and Dutch. So a lot going on there. And I've seen pictures of her mom and I'm like, oh, like this could have honestly been her mom's story, like given when she was born and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was born in 1950, not 1920, but you get my point. Because her mom, I don't know, looks like someone. Well, her mom was also mixed race, I think.
Yes.
But
I mean, when you find that information, it's like there's for sure Rebecca Hall has been in rooms where people are being, I guess, insensitive would be the nicest way to say it. And they're not aware.
Yes.
That because she, everyone, because she is white passing. So they just assume she's a white woman. And of course, you know, it's impossible not to watch this movie without seeing this as like a big allegory to the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say, of course, that is going to be a huge thing in this movie, which I'm like, when they pulled in the attraction stuff, I was just like, oh, is this where we're going? It's going to be like multiple things. And then I was glad
I didn't know how far they were going to lean into that. I was glad they didn't lean into it further. I was also disappointed, but I was mostly glad that they didn't lean into it further.
If you're going to tell me it's a Tessa Thompson, Ruth Negga love story, I'm there. Sign me
I know
up.
It's like, I'm into that. It is a different movie, but I am into that.
Yeah, the tone, the end of this movie would be drastically different if that was the thing. It would be way more, it'd be a happier ending. It would be like, yes, let's just let them live happy forever.
Yes, and like, I love a good love story, but I do also think this whole tale of obsession and infatuation and jealousy is much more interesting when it's not clear. Like, when it is confusing where it all comes from. I actually really like that. And apparently this is based off of a book. And from the reviews that I read that were like talking about people who've read the book, there was one review that I read that I was like, I was a bit surprised that they like kind of, you know, implied this maybe love thing. And then I reread the book and I was like, oh, it is there. It's just vague. So it's interesting that Rebecca Hall kind of took that and was like, okay, yeah, this is cool. Let's make it a little more overt, but equally confusing.
Okay, yeah. I also wonder how the book ends. If the movie ends like the book ends, because it did feel very sudden to me, and I understand like they wanted to end the story after Claire's death, but it that build up to that felt, it was like all very quickly in and it was over and you're like, oh, the movie's done, okay. But I Tessa Thompson and Ruth Negga should for sure be nominated for actress and supporting actress. Andre Holland, I wouldn't mind being nominated for supporting actor. He's great as well. I would like to see Rebecca Hall nominated for either director or screenplay. I don't know about director just because I feel like that's a pretty competitive category, but I just don't hopefully she gets in. I just don't see her getting in director, honestly, just because that's how it works.
Yep. Well, she's a woman and didn't direct a movie about bombs.
And she's a woman of color.
Yeah.
So that, but she should for sure screenplay, because I bet the script for this movie is incredible. And then if we have 10 Best Picture nominees, this has to be one of them. Like, come on.
I do have an answer on the book. So the book, it takes place in three parts. The first part is like when Irene kind of first is getting Claire in her life. The second one is like when she reappears. And the third one is the Irene's relationship with her husband sucks. And she thinks he's having an affair, blah, blah, blah. What I liked about the movie is that they didn't make it broken down into clear chapters like that. Like, there was passage of time in between there, which I loved. But the book seems to end pretty much exactly the same way. There's a party. The husband busts into the party, yells some really gross words. And Irene is not standing next to Claire, but she rushes to Claire, who's standing by an open window. Claire falls out the window. She's pronounced dead.
And then she comes back to life.
Yes, it's a zombie movie. It's unclear if she fell accidentally or was pushed by Irene or the husband or committed suicide. All of that is unclear. And then the book ends with Irene's fragmented anguish at Claire's death. So very similar, but sounds like more frantic in the book.
I like the choice to put Irene beside Claire.
Yeah.
I think that works better than her also rushing to her. Because then I think that's also harder to shoot, I imagine, in a movie.
Yeah, too many people rushing.
Well, they'd have to, to show it in big, it would just be like way more chaotic. And it would be like, okay, well, I mean, obviously, like, it was the husband then if they're both running at her, right? Like,
well, unless
she jumps or.
Or Irene ran to, like, I mean, she wouldn't run to shove her out the window. But
no,
like,
she wouldn't run to shove her out the window. Irene wouldn't do that. So,
yeah, because that would be really weird. But maybe she runs to like
try to get it between them.
Yeah. And like, but maybe she still does shove her out. Like, maybe it's all false pretenses or like, who knows?
Yeah. I just didn't expect that. I didn't expect this, why this movie would go this to there. I did not see this happening of being like, oh, maybe murder. But It's a wonderful film.
It's good. It's really good.
I'm glad. I wish people should watch it. It's not that long. It's actually only just over 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty easy to watch. And it's an easy watch. It's not something that you're going to have to like. I watched it on a computer screen and I was sucked in the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was also available in theaters. I don't know if it still is.
Mm-hmm. But available on Netflix, both of these movies, the one we talked about in this episode and the one we talked about in last, The Harder They Fall.
Also, the costuming in this film is also incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It felt 20s. It really, really did.
Yeah. So I expect this to get a ton of nominations and promptly win nothing.
You're being optimistic with the nominations. You expect it should get nominations. Will it? No.
If you and I were decided, I'm pretty sure we would pick either Ruth Negga or Tessa Thompson to win an acting award. I mean, yes. I haven't seen anybody act better than them yet this year.
They were incredible.
Other than Vin Diesel in Fast and the Furious 9. So,
okay, we're ending the podcast.
Goodbye. You can find me at James Willicks everywhere on the internet, except on Twitter, where the O is a zero. And you can find Carolyn and all of her Vin Diesel, he's so sexy tweets.
Well, you can't find those anywhere on the internet, so I guess I just don't have social media. But you can find my other musings at Carolyn Dunk 93 on all the platforms.
Audience, she's lying to you. When we first came on, she was like, I have a confession to make. I find Vin Diesel to be the most sexually attractive human ever to exist.
Yes, I was thirsty for the D's.
Ew. You can send us an email. I hate that so much, what you just said. You can send us an email at letswatchpod@gmail.com. And the next movies we'll be covering are Shang-Chi and Tick, Tick, Boom. Pretty drastically different tones from this film, I imagine.
I hope not. I think Shang-Chi is exactly like this, but with superheroes.
If Shang-Chi ends up with Simu Liu and Tony Leung having sexual tension, I'm there for it.